Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only.
Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with your host, Pete Talbot, along with Dr. Samara Humat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you an opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here's your host of Leading Edge Medicine, Pete Talbot.
Hey, indeed. Boy, we had 2 good hours. Little reminder, actually our 2 hours here from 10 to noon on 570 KVI are technically hours number 3 and 4 because we started 2 hours ago, 8 o'clock. If you want to know where we are for all 4 hours, why don't you go to our website, lmclinic.com, and push on the button at the top of the page that says podcasts, and it'll show you where we are for all 4 hours, every Saturday. Plus, you can go back and watch or listen, not watch, but listen to all of our previous shows. Last Saturday, 2 Saturdays ago, 10 Saturdays ago, last year, whatever. So again, that's on our homepage, lmclinic.com. Push the podcast button. But it is the 4th of July. And Jerry, I think, like you did at 8 o'clock this morning, why don't you just share what's on your heart about the beauty of this very special day, 4th of July?
All right. 4th of July to me is unique on Earth, really. It is not a celebration of veterans. It's not a celebration of labor unions. It's not a celebration of deity or Thanksgiving. It is the only celebration that I'm aware of in which a people, the common man, is celebrating his freedom, his individual freedom to run his own life instead of having his life run by his betters. For most of human history, until 244 years ago, the king, the emperor, the whatever we wanted to call him, was the guy who killed all his opponents. He had the power, he had the soldiers, and might made right. Because he was able to kill all comers, he was in charge. And he was in charge of however much land and however many peoples he could control. And the people who lived under that king's or emperor's control belonged to him. He had power of life and death over everybody in his kingdom. There were emperors and kings that were, quote, liberal. Liberal meant, and still means, the government permits you to have more control over your own life. The government put fewer restrictions on you. That was a liberal government. And then there were governments that were far more autocratic and allowed their people less freedom. But your freedoms for all of human history until 1776, July 4, depended on what you were allowed to do by your ruler. The unique experiment that we have set about on in America, and an experiment that is still ongoing, is our founding fathers turned that on its head. They said, no, we do not get our rights from our rulers. We are free and independent, and we are able to run our own lives, we as individuals, not as a country. He said, human beings, just because they are human beings, have certain unalienable rights. Among them are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And it went in that order. If you don't have life, you have no freedoms. liberty was all-inclusive. You have the right to run your own life, and you have the right to run it in whatever way makes you as an individual happy. That's a fantastic idea. No one had ever taken that position before. Instead of getting our rights from the government, what they did was they said, we, the people, have our rights as individuals, not as an organization. Each person has their rights. We then have chosen to grant the government certain limited rights over us. So that instead of freedoms flowing from the government to the people, power flows from the people to the government. And they only have such power as we have chosen to give them. And in the Section 10 of the Constitution, it reserves, it says, all rights, all powers, not specifically granted to the central government, are retained by the people and the states. So the federal government only has that specific power we've given them. And everything else we've retained. That's totally different. That's 180 degrees from the way it has always been done before in history. So the 4th of July, 1776, was the year that we decided to start an experiment where instead of the government controlling all power and granting some specific freedoms to the people maintained all power and granted specific powers to the government. You know, I'm putting in mind when my wife first came to America, we had a dispute with the State Department about her parents being allowed to visit. And I made an appointment, and we went to see our congressperson. And I basically read him the Riot Act because I thought that her parents were being treated very unfairly. And when we left the meeting, my wife stopped me as soon as we got out of the door and said, you talk to him like he worked for you. And I said, honey, he does work for me. He's a temporary employee. We hired him to provide services for us. And if we don't like his work, we fire him on the next election. That was a totally different concept for her coming from China.
Oh, yes.
China, if we had talked to somebody like I talked to our representative, we'd have disappeared. They'd have come and got us in the middle of the night. We'd never be seen again.
Now, when you say that, I think some people think you're exaggerating.
No, it is the literal truth. You got to remember, China today has more than 1 million people in concentration camps. They call them re-education camps because their thinking is not what the government wants them to think. My father-in-law is a physician, and he has now been exposed to Western thought. He spent 3 years here before he went back to China, and we have taken him to Germany and France and so on, and he's traveled the world a bit. And so he has gotten some ideas the government doesn't necessarily want him to have. So he said something on social media 6-8 months ago, and so they turned off all his social media. The government just said, you're off for a week. You cannot talk to anybody on the internet.
Really?
That was a week. That was a warning. Now, he's done it again. He said something that the government didn't want him to say. This time they shut him off for 3 months. If he does it a third time, he will be closed out of social media for the rest of his life. He will never again be able to say anything on the internet. That's the power of the Chinese government over the internet. They monitor everything you do, everything you say, everything you email, everything you post gets monitored. And if you say anything the government doesn't want, they can cut you off. If you do anything that they really approve of, the police will simply come and take you away. You may be seen again when you have been re-educated, or you may disappear forever. That's the power when the government controls the people instead of the people controlling the government. You know, I've got people coming to my house this afternoon for 4th of July, and they are all immigrants to America. They have all chosen to come to America. They have all lived under socialism. And they are proudly, freely American citizens because for the first time in their life, they're able to control their own lives.
They can think and speak.
Yes. Madison and Hamilton and Jay, when they were writing the Federalist Paper, 85 essays that were originally just published as individual papers in the newspapers in New York City. They had a debate about the purpose of government. What is government for? Why are we giving government some controls, some powers? Why don't we have an anarchy in which we each just totally control our own lives? And Madison's belief was that the function of government was to protect your individual liberties. That's what government was for, to see to it that you were able to run your own life, that your liberties were protected. Hamilton was a little bit more of a central government guy, and he felt that the government had a little wider spectrum of power over people. That's why he was for a central bank and so on. We're having that same debate today, 244 years later. We have people who are demanding that the government provide them with protections and services and income and jobs and medical care and this and that and the other. And the other argument is, no, the government's job is to see to it that you are free to make your own choices in life, and you will rise or fall depending on your intelligence, your education, your effort, and to some degree, luck, right? Because we are not all born equal. Some are tall, some are short, some are smart, some are not so smart, some are hardworking, some are kind of lazy. And so there's that push-pull. To what extent is government here to do things for us and protect us? Or to what extent is government here to provide us with maximum freedom to run our own lives? And that debate is going on today. And if you actually look at all the things that people are saying in the different political camps, that's really what it comes down to. I lean more towards, in general, government's job is to protect my freedom. But then again, I tend to be a fairly independent, successful human being. So, of course, I like my freedom. If I were failing at everything I tried in life and I really didn't want to work very hard, well, then I'd probably want somebody else to work and provide me with certain services and guarantees. It's a push-pull. It's a balance. But if you look at all the arguments being made by the different factions of our society, that's really what it comes down to. How much of it is government, what government should do for you, or to what extent should government permit you to run your own life, or should you be permitted to allow government to interfere in your life?
Yeah.
Because anytime government has the power to do it for you, they also have the power to do it to you.
Yikes.
But that's the truth. And there's no way around that. The more power they have to help you, the more power they have to hurt you.
And in the meantime, we can be very grateful our founding fathers had the courage. It took courage.
I recommend
it took courage. Oh,
and it is not done. I wish every school child in America was required to read those 85 essays written by Jay, Madison, and Hamilton. 85 essays in which these very smart men with different points of view, who had different visions for the future of America, argued and laid out their positions on what it meant to be an American. Unfortunately, too many of our school kids don't even know what 1776 was all about.
Well, many of our kids' history is being revised.
Yes, it is being revised.
It is a very sad thing.
They're being taught that America invented slavery in 1619.
Yeah, that new whole push, New York Times school districts.
Yeah, I didn't know whether to laugh, cry, spit, or throw things when I saw the picture of the congressional people kneeling, wearing that very colorful African cloth around their neck.
Yeah.
Okay, that's called quinta cloth. Quinta cloth is representative of a certain tribe. It was actually an empire in the late 1700 to mid 1800s in Africa. But that empire, that African empire, were slavers. They captured slaves and sold them to Europeans for firearms, for guns, to extend their empire so they could control more slaves. They owned slaves. They used the slaves that they owned to control or to run their gold mines. And then they shipped the gold off to Europe and the Middle East. So this was our congressional, to show their solidarity.
The Democrats, yeah.
I wasn't going to identify which party, but yes.
Well, obvious.
These people that were wearing this thing around their neck as they knelt were actually emulating and honoring an African empire that practiced slavery, that owned slaves, that captured slaves, that sold slaves to the Europeans.
Wonderful.
Nobody on their staff bothered to research what that cloth represented.
it is amazing. Meantime, let's be grateful for at least what we have. And let's develop a little bit of courage, much like our founding fathers, in standing for independence. I'm very grateful. What a wonderful country we have. We need to protect it. With that said, when we come back, we need to start taking some calls. This is Leading Edge Medicine. I've got Dr. Jerry Mixon here, the founder and chief medical officer for Longevity Medical Clinics. And we've got two lines open right now if you want to call in with your question. The toll-free number is 1-888-312-5757. 888-312-5757. We'll be right back.
Hi, longevity friends. I learn something from you every week. I'm so glad you're on the radio.
Well, now it takes more than a robin to make the weather go. And it takes two lips of fire to melt away the snow.
But it takes two hearts of cooking.
Brooke Benton, welcome back to Leading Edge Medicine. Pete Talbot here, along with Dr. Jerry Mixon. Shall we start taking some calls?
Except I want to give one final little educational fill-up on slavery.
Excellent.
Slavery, period. Slavery is an ancient human activity. It was not racial for most of human history. It was always the other. Strong enslaved the weak. And before the rise of the nation states, even before the city states, we simply had tribes. And tribes would raid each other. And the tribe that was stronger and that was able to capture, they'd usually kill the men. They'd take the women as new wives and concubines and prostitutes. And they'd enslave anybody they didn't feel like killing. And so what is now Germany was, you know, northern Germany was enslaving southern Germany, and southern Germany was enslaving the what's now the French border. And these were not based on race. They were simply based on not us. Anybody that wasn't your group was open for slavery. And slavery was common throughout the world. Europe had slaves, certainly, but so did Asia, so did the Chinese, so did Africa. Strong African tribes enslaved weak African tribes. Nobody thought anything of slavery as unusual for thousands of years because it was always felt that the right of the strong to oppress and enslave the weak. That's the way it worked. With the rise of the city-states, it started to get more restricted. And with the rise of the nation-states, it basically faded away. No European nation enslaved any other European nation. China maintained slavery, of course, until 1949. China, so they were fairly late in getting rid of slavery. much of Asia down in Thailand and Cambodia and stuff maintained slavery until the 1960s. It was often a bit under the table, but it was a fact of life. Most of the Muslim countries did not outlaw slavery until the late 1960s. And even then, while it was outlawed, it was tolerated. I just finished a book, autobiography by a Taiwanese woman who married a Spaniard in the 60s, and they moved to the Sahara region, North Africa. And they were still encountering slaves being bought and sold in the mid 1970s. And again, this was not racial. It was simply strong against the weak, and it was often religious. You notice that when ISIS, the Islamic State, the Caliphate, reconstituted itself in the 2000s up until like 2018, 2 years ago, one of the first things they did was restart slave markets. They were capturing, buying, and selling slaves. And the slavery, again, was not racial. It was, in fact, religious. If you were not their version of Islam, or you were Christian, or you were Hindu, or you were Buddhist, you were open to be a slave. So, you know, this was a modern group that we pretty much took away the rest of their power in 2018, 2019. But until we did, the Islamic State was, in fact, women were property. Child marriage, 10 and 12-year-olds getting married and being sexually used for pleasure was acceptable. Homosexuals were executed and murdered, and that was all perfectly legal, and slavery came back. So that propensity for human beings to abuse and enslave each other is still there. We've seen it in the last decade, okay? And that was what Mr. Trump managed to basically crush. So slavery is not a racial issue. The race-based slavery that we saw here in the 16, 1700s that we abolished in this country in the mid-1800s, that was the last gasp of slavery. That was the last gasp of any slavery except in the Islamic world. The Islamic world still, when it gets a foothold, brings it back. It's unfortunate. I wish it was not true, but it is. So slavery is a human impulse that we need to keep under check. And the American Constitution, as we have modified it, because now in the 1865, we did away with slavery constitutionally, and everyone that lives in America is a free man. Every woman is a free woman. Everyone in this country for the last 150 years or so is granted the ability to run their own lives and cannot buy, sell, or own any other human being. You have to recognize the importance of that because it goes against 10,000 years of human behavior.
In other words, what we've been able to accomplish.
What we've accomplished in the last 244 years has turned 10,000 years of human behavior on its head. That's amazing. And it's wonderful.
And yet, oh boy.
And yet people are disrespecting that accomplishment. They forget human beings are complex. Yes. Some of our founding fathers did things that we no longer approve of, but guess what? They didn't live in the 21st century. They lived nearly 300 years ago they were born. Humans are complex creatures. We are not all good. We're not all bad. Mother Teresa is a real rarity among us peoples. I have done things in my life that, you know, I'm not overly proud of. I may do some more. I don't know, but I've done some things I'm very proud of. Most humans are mixtures of good and bad. And we need a society that encourages but does not mandate what we consider good. Because when you mandate, you control other people's lives. You have to let people free to make mistakes.
And with that, We unfortunately need to go to another break, but I'm so glad that you continued on. I am very glad. We've still got 90 minutes to go with Leading Edge Medicine. And I promise, when we get back from the break, you can call in and you can ask your questions of Dr. Jerry Mixon. This might be a good time right now for you to remember that you can go back and listen to this last half hour of Dr. Mixon sharing his thoughts about the 4th of July and the beauty and the accomplishment of the American dream. You simply go to our website, lmclinic.com, push the podcast button at the top of the page, and when you do that, you can find out where we are every Saturday for 4 hours, 2 hours right here on 570 KVI. But also, by, I believe, about Monday of this week, you should have today's program, this hour, this in specifically the time between 10 and 10:30, so that you can listen to it again, you can share it with a friend, and I have a feeling you may have some friends that need to hear it, especially if they're confused about the battle going on, the intellectual battles going on about America today. Thank you for being with us. After the break, questions and answers.
I've been a longevity patient at the Tacoma Clinic a little over 3 months. So I've lost a bunch of weight, improved libido. I quit drinking wine, which was not easy. I really appreciate what you do.
In every other song that I've heard lately, some fellow gets shot, and his baby and his best friend both die with him, as likely as not. In half of the other songs, some cats cry, are ready to die. We've lost most all of our happy people, and I'm wondering why.
Hey, get ready here.
Let's think about loving. Let's think about the hooping and the hopping and the bopping and the loving, lovey-doving. Let's forget about the whine and the crying, the shooting and the dying, and the fellow with a switchblade knife. Let's think about living. Let's think about life.
Like I said, I believe that that should be our theme song.
You think so?
For longevity. Let's think about living. Boy, I'm telling you, right. I love it.
Got to revamp it a little bit, though. Nobody uses a switchblade knife now anymore.
Oh.
It's an AK-47.
That's right. That's right. Okay. Again, if you would like to listen to any of our previous programs, whether it be on what Jerry just presented about the beauty of the American dream, or obviously about these various health topics and things that we talk about, just simply go to our website, lmclinic.com, push on the podcast button, little tab at the top of the page, and it's all right there for you. Today's 4 hours of programming will probably be available by Monday, at some point on Monday. And so you just do that, and you can listen again or share it with a friend or two. Smart idea. Okay, let us, with that in mind, let's start off in Burien with Arnold. Arnold, we're glad you called in today.
Hello, Arnold.
Good morning. Boy, oh boy, did you say it. I believe every word that you have said. And I'm glad that we have the President of the United States zeroing in on what we are all about. And I have been, you almost are mimicking everything that I believe. And the only problem that I can see is that the people are not disciplined to themselves. And to understand who they are, where they come from, and where are they going. We know the past. We know the present, and we don't know the future, but we want to make the future better than it was in the past. And for Dr. Dixon to say everything, I've been listening every word that he has said, and he probably read my script because
well, I'm glad you wrote it for me. Thank you.
Yeah, and there again, I'm a senior. I'm 87 years old, and my conversations, without being overbearing and using a lot of tact, I reason when I speak to people, and they say, "Arnold, who are you?" And I said, "I'm an American citizen ambassador." And they say, "What does that mean?" That I say, "I'm a citizen and an ambassador of where I live, in a beautiful country. I served in Korea in 1950. I get emotional when I mention it because I'm so old. But anyway, I served two times in Vietnam. And now they're asking me to take me on her flight to Washington, D.C. And
do it.
And I don't think I'm old enough because everybody else that was served their country as much as I have are 97, and I'm only a baby, 87. But I'm there again to spread the gospel of freedom. Mm-hmm. Of the individual from our Creator, without talking religion, because we have four or five religions in our world, and they all are believed differently. But people don't understand that we all came from one source, and we're all brothers and sisters, regardless of where we were raised, in Africa, and there was, you know, Europe or the Middle East or China or wherever it was. They're all my brothers and sisters. We're all related because we got the same grandmother and the grandfather. And because of that, I was thinking, I hope the 4 hours that you're transmitting on the radio is being recorded on a CD, because I sure would like to have a dozen CDs, and I'll buy them from you so I can spread. That makes my life a little easier for my vocal cords to talk the way you
Well, let me, Jerry, you tell them.
Well, everything is recorded on our website. Today's will be there by Tuesday or so, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And they can be downloaded as MP3s. You can listen to them or you can download them. Then, of course, you got to record it on a CD. We don't sell our stuff. I don't know why not. Maybe I've talked to Pete sometimes about starting a separate podcast in which I would be free to discuss stuff other than medicine. We've never done it, but one of these days I'm going to do it anyway. So, you know, I hesitate to spend as much time as I have today talking about my philosophies and so on. But I guess being 4th of July, I'm just kind of in that mood.
That's right.
And the good thing is I buy this time. It's my time. And I can say anything I really want. I'm supposed to be saying things, of course, that'll pay for the hour and keep me eating. But what the heck?
That's all right. Arnold, we appreciate your thoughts.
Thank you for
very
the call,
much.
Sir.
Go to our website, lmclinic.com. Maybe by late Monday, certainly by Tuesday, this program and all of our previous programs are right there for you. They're absolutely free. You can listen to them again, download them, share them with friends, whatever you'd like to do.
That's right.
With that in mind, we'll go to Buckley and talk with Charlie. Hey, Charlie, thanks for calling in today.
Hello, Charlie.
Hello. Good morning, Pete and Doc. And happy Independent Day.
Yes.
Yes. So,
I got a couple of questions.
Mm-hmm.
Life takes Eliquis. When it comes to the relief factor, is she going to have a problem if she takes relief factor with Eliquis?
Depends on how much she takes. Eliquis is impacted by the resveratrol. So if she keeps her down to one or two packets a day, she should have no issues. But when you start getting up to 3-4 packets a day, you're starting to get enough resveratrol in the system that it might extend the bleeding time a bit.
I see.
So,
I see.
Yeah, so it's a dose response issue.
Right, because I know if she asked her cardiologist, he would say, oh, no, don't take it and everything, right?
Yeah.
So he's like that. But, you know, I don't know. My sister had an old Bible, King James. And, you know, it was like an origin of man. And I believe the word slave came from the origin of man. Turned around and showed all these Slavs.
That's right. And yep, so slave was because the Central Europeans basically enslaved the Slavic peoples. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, this was not skin color. This was a different tribe.
Exactly, exactly. So keep it down to maybe one or two on the relief factor. And then I got a question. Oh, yeah, last hour you played some bumper music. I believe it was from Sanford and Son.
And, all right, I never know where it comes from. I don't watch TV, so I have no idea where these came from.
Right. It was years ago. But anyway, I sat down while my sister was in between Red Fox and myself, and I was on the end of the blackjack. Not the end, but the beginning.
Uh-huh.
And boy, did he get mad at me because I won and he lost.
Losers are usually unhappy with winners.
Yeah, it was in the hacienda. Of course, I think they even built a new one and tore it down also. That was in the 70s. The other thing is,
right.
I've got a question, if you would like to say that, don't viruses have a tendency to maybe get in your eyes or your nose versus your mouth?
Yeah, most viruses, especially these respiratory viruses like coronavirus, like influenza, they need mucous membrane. They do not penetrate the skin worth a hoot. But the mucous membranes, the lining of your eyes, your nose, your mouth, and certainly way down in your lungs, very susceptible. They can get through those tissues and invade the cells very easily. Yeah. So you need to cover your nose and your mouth, not just one or the other. And the odds are against something floating into your eye very much, unless somebody's coughing right in your face.
Right.
But, you know, if you want to wear wraparound sunglasses, that's always an extra layer of protection. But I suspect infection through the eye is probably a tiny fraction of 1%.
I see. Well, I always heard that, like, if you touch somebody else's pen, like in flu or cold season, you have a good chance. And, you know, if you touched your eye afterwards, boom, you might get the...
And that was the dogma early, 4 months ago. You know, again, our beliefs and knowledge of this virus are changing. You got to remember, when it first came out, it was totally unknown. We were making wild guesses about this virus. And now we're getting statistics, we're getting numbers, we're being able to see when and how people are infected. We're actually looking at the molecular mechanisms by which cells become infected. And it's turning out that while infections from contaminated surfaces is possible, it's very rare, very unlikely. So, yes, keep washing your hands. Don't go out and rub a public banister or doorknob and then stick your finger in your eye to scratch the sleep out of the middle. You know, no, try to avoid that. But generally, your chances of getting infected from a surface contaminant are very low. Small fraction of 1%.
Anyway, everything you've been saying on the radio, I agree totally with.
Well, thank you, sir. Appreciate it. We always like to hear from people that agree with us, of course. So,
thanks for the call, Charlie.
You, sir.
Appreciate it. We're going to go to a break right now. When we come back, we're going to go to Renton and talk with Sylvia, and then Seattle. We'll talk with Sierra. Sierra has an issue with her eyes, aching eyes. Not sure. I wish Michael Gilbert was here, but I think Dr. Mixon can help there. And if you have got a question, we have two lines open right now. Why don't you just call in? It's the 4th of July. What are you doing? You're probably at home. You've got a phone. Call us. 1-888-312-5757. 1-888-312-5757. We'll be back before you know it.
I've been a longevity patient for about 17 years. And I can remember back in the day, I listened many, many, many times before I took the plunge. Because at first I went from skeptical to, you know what, I'm going to do it.
Only you can make all this world seem right. Only you can make the darkness bright. Only you and you.
Sing it, Jerry.
Oh, I can't sing. I sing to Vandine when I'm holding her and we're swaying to the music in the living room, but that's about it.
I let that go a little longer than normal there. Forgive me, everybody, but that the platter's a lot of kissing going on.
I was just sitting here with my eyes closed and listening to that and thinking of it, just what I had referred to, and that is Vandine, my wife, and she and I dance in the living room, and we listen to the music, and, it's important.
Yes. Yeah, memories are fun, nostalgic. You know, the music there, but the testimonial that we heard that came, during the break, coming back from the break, was a lady talking about how sorry she was that she procrastinated for so long becoming a patient. She'd been a patient, I think, 7 years, whatever she said. But she procrastinated because she was skeptical. And so people, Jerry, are out there listening, and maybe some of them have been listening. We know this is true because we hear the stories all the time. They've been listening for 5, 10, 15 years.
Yep.
See
how long it takes to convince some people.
I know, they're just slow. Anyway, but they're skeptical. And that is understandable from one perspective because they get a lot of bad information.
And we're doing things that are not usually done.
That's right.
And let's face it, human beings are social quasi-herd animals.
Yeah.
We follow each other. And if everybody else is doing it, then you'll go do it too.
That's right.
But if it is unusual, well, then you have to stop and think about it. Yeah.
Well, this is why I put on all the testimonials. These are other people that we do not tell them what to say. They just call up and they say what they want to say. They usually pursue us. We get people all the time saying, we want you to know. You get emails. You get letters. We all do here. And our patients are very happy. And so I just take their comments, their words, and so they don't think it's just you and me or Dr. Samira here on the radio trying to convince you that, oh, we have something so special. Well, that's true. But if you're skeptical, this is why we came up with the free health analysis appointment. It's for you. You, skeptic, right now listening. Maybe you've been listening for a month or 10 years. You've been skeptical. That's understandable. This is why we do the free health analysis appointment and give you 2 free tests. And in this case, at least through July, give you $100 of free longevity supplements. But it's your first step. If you're skeptical, okay, we accept that. We understand it, actually. And we give you time to ask questions. We do those 2 free tests, the blood test, the A1C blood test, also the special Embody test. And it'll give you some basic understanding as it relates to some of your physical concerns that you need to be aware of. We do that for you, no charge. Once you get that information, then you can make an intelligent decision. Mm-hmm. Yes, no, us, our competitors, doesn't matter. At least you have the information. Yep. And so the big news that I have, and it seems that I get this news every Friday, is that through July, we've opened up the entire month of July now, as of yesterday, with appointments. And we have about 12 or 13 for each of our 3 clinics. Tacoma, Linwood, Kirkland. So there's about 12, 13, 14 in each of our three clinics. One of those can be yours. Now, they're all near the end of July, we admit, so you got to wait 2 or 3 weeks, but that's okay. They're free, and to get one, you simply go to our website, lmclinic.com. Push on the button that says health analysis, you know, schedule now or whatever, and make your appointment. Mm-hmm. Bing, bang, bong. It's so easy to do.
I'd like to make a comment, though, about that opening up. You know, why we open it up weeks in advance like this. Mm-hmm. We got two things, really. We've only got so many of these we can do in the given a month. We've kind of geared up and put enough staff on it.
Yeah, we've increased that number a bit.
We can do a lot more people than we used to. But the reality is it is in demand. And so we have to open it up 3 weeks, 4 weeks in advance because the ones closer are already filled up. But here's the thing. I don't want to open it too far in advance because I know from experience, if you make an appointment for 6, 7, 8 weeks out, there's a much higher probability you won't show up. Okay. And I'm paying people to be there available to do your test and to do your education. And if you don't show up, you're raising the overhead cost for everybody.
That's right.
Because I'm having to pay those people and you didn't show up to do the test. So we want to keep it as close as possible, but still give as many people a chance as we can.
So, that's right.
So this giving you a spot 3, 4 weeks out is about as far out as I dare go from a business standpoint.
That's right.
But, you know, the closer times, well, there's demand. And so the close ones are all filled. So I'm trying to strike a balance here.
That's right. It's just good common sense, and that's what we try to do here.
Remember, it's part of my view of medicine, is it is a strange hybrid between a priestly calling and a business, and you need both aspects. You're there to do good and to help your fellow man, but you need to pay the bills in the process.
That's right.
And so it's both have to be concerned.
Let's quickly go to Shortline and talk to Brad. Brad, welcome to the show. We've got 2 or 3 minutes here. How can we help?
Hello, Brad.
Yeah, the in-body machine. I was wondering how it's possible that with me just putting my thumbs on two handles and standing on some, how does that work? How does it calculate muscle and fat and all that?
Well, the physics of it gets a bit involved, but basically different radio frequencies are absorbed by fat, by water, by muscle. And so this thing is basically sending currents from your right foot to your left hand, your left foot to your right hand, your left foot to your right foot, your left hand to your right hand, back and forth. It's actually going every which way, and it doesn't just do one series. It does multiple series of different frequencies that give different impedances from different tissues. And the computer is taking all of these multiple signals from being sent from different sources to different receptors at the different frequencies and does the calculations. And it's pretty good. It is within about 2 or 3% of a immersion test, you know, where they put your body in a tank of water and see how much water you displace, and they know your height, they know your weight, they know how much water, and they get an overall density number from that. Well, this electrical impedance sort of testing has actually been shown to be very close to that other very fancy or very difficult to do test at figuring out your body. But it allows us to discriminate because it goes from different extremities to different extremities and back and forth. It looks at each extremity and then the central core, which is an average of all of them.
It's really fun. We have them in all three of our clinics.
We do.
And it's a part, Brad. It's a part. It's one of the two tests that we do free with the health analysis, the blood test, and then the in-body, which Jerry just described. Very, very helpful and fascinating, actually. And again, those two tests are free along with $100 of longevity supplements.
And the InBody is useful because we track you over time. Every time you come to the clinic, you'll get it tested again.
Yeah, for patients.
And we see how they're doing.
That's right. You want to make an appointment? We've got 10 or 12, 12 or 13 actually, in each of our three clinics, Tacoma, Linwood, Kirkland. Make your own appointment at lmclinic.com. Easy to do. Easy to do. And we will be back after about a 1 or 2 minute break for hour number 2.